Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Joshua chapter 17, and the land is being allotted to the various tribal leaders by Joshua. The first one is, well, not the first one, but in this chapter, is that of Manasseh, which is Joseph's firstborn, and they go ahead and allot him what he is going to receive. Then I'm going to turn to verse 3, and we pick up an interesting story. However, Zoliphad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the sons of Manasseh, had no sons, only daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahlal and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They came near, now this was in the past, as we'll see in a moment, they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the leaders, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers." Actually, they're coming again now, it appears, reminding them of a prior agreement. So according to the command of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers. Thus there fell 10 portions to Manasseh besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which is beyond the Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh received an inheritance among his sons, and the land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the sons of Manasseh. And this reminds me of really a similar point that we talked about yesterday in Joshua 16. But in order to make this point, I want to turn back to Numbers chapter 27. In the book of Numbers, while they were in the desert awaiting to go to the promised land, it says this, Numbers 27 verse 1, "Then the daughters of Zoliphad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, came near, and these are the names of his daughters, Mahlal, Noah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah, and they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the leaders, and all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting, saying, Our father died in the wilderness, yet he was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah." Remember that when they kind of, as a band of people, turned against Moses and the leaders, and there was a lot of people died of the sons of Korah who took part of that. But he died in his own sin, and he had no sons. So they're saying that one of our father died in the wilderness, but he wasn't part of the rebellion. And then they said this, they brought this to Joshua and God's attention. They said, "Why should the name of our father be withdrawn from among his family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." So Moses brought their case before the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zoliphad are right in their statements. You shall surely give them a hereditary possession among their father's brothers, and you shall transfer the inheritance of their father to them. Further," now he's going to make an ordinance to all of Israel, "speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughter." Isn't that something? So here we have these ladies, and they see a problem. There's no sons, and land's going to be allotted, and they're like, "We're going to be left out because our father had no sons. He wasn't part of the rebellion. This doesn't seem right. Let's bring this to Joshua's attention and see what he says." Now, of course, you know, if they would have said nothing, they probably would have received nothing. But sometimes, as I have mentioned yesterday, you have to advocate for yourself, and you do it respectfully. You do it honorably. And, you know, I think of, you know, maybe some person in a job as an example, and maybe they've been paid the same fare, you know, the same rate for their job for a decade, and they've never spoken up and said anything. And sometimes you have to advocate yourself and do it professionally, do it honorably, but remind the people who are above you that you're, you know, you'd like to advance, or maybe you need a promotion, you'd like a increase in your salary or whatever. Now you need to do it honorably. You need to be a man or woman of God about it. But if you don't advocate for yourself, sometimes, you know, no one will advocate for you. Now you can pray and you can ask God, but I think sometimes God is saying, you know, you got to also take the wisdom that I've given you and speak up for yourself. That's what these daughters did. And as a result, they ended up getting an inheritance. You know, good for them, right? So pray about that. Think about that in your own life. Where do you need to speak up and professionally and honorably and respectfully? Go to your boss respectfully and talk to him. May the Lord lead you to do or not to do. And, you know, may God bless you in your efforts. So later in this chapter, something else happened that's interesting. We talked about this yesterday too, but in verse 12, the sons of Manasseh could not take possession of these cities because the Canaanites persisted in living in the land, and they shouldn't have been like, well, we can't do it. So, you know, that was a failure on their part to not take the land that God had told them to take. But moving on, listen to what happens here in verse 14 through 18. Then the sons of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given me only one lot and one portion for inheritance?" So someone else is advocating for themselves. They're saying, "Since I am numerous people whom the Lord has thus far blessed," Joshua said to them, "If you are a numerous people, go up to the forest and clear a place for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you." He's like, hey, listen, yeah, you know what? You're right. You do have a large family, so go take this land. You can go ahead and take it. The hill country, and then they said this, the sons of Joseph said, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the valley land have chariots of iron. But those who are in Bethshean and its towns, and those who are in the valley of Jezreel." Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, "You are a numerous people and have great power, and you shall not have one lot only, but the hill country shall be yours. For though it is a forest, you shall clear it, and to its farthest borders it shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots of iron and though they are strong." So it's interesting, you know, this large family wanted more land, but they didn't really want to have to clear it, and they didn't necessarily want to have to fight for the land. You know, they wanted it to be easy, so to speak, and, you know, that's just kind of our nature, right? If we can get something done easier, it's better to do it easier than harder. But again, Israel, sometimes the people are not trusting God to fight their battles for them, even though he has miraculously provided for them in the past. So then when they don't want to take a specific land, they say, oh, the people are giants, or they have chariots, or they kind of make it grandiose in order to maybe convince, you know, Joshua here to say, oh, okay, well, then just go ahead and have this land and you don't have to go do it. But what he's wanting to say is, no, you know what? You can trust God. And you can go. God is with you. He will give you the land. If you want more land, it's yours to take. Go get it. So, you know, sometimes they advocated for themselves, but Joshua didn't sense that what they were requesting, God was in. So he told them the way for more land. He gave them the solution. So it's interesting. We have different people advocating and getting different responses, yet justifiable responses from their leadership. But yet, as I've mentioned before, the answer is always no if you don't ask. So you know what? There's opportunity. It's kind of reminds me of, you know, America. When this America was founded, you know, it was kind of like a rugged individualism. Now, not that that doesn't mean that you couldn't have a relationship with God or trust God, but it's like, if you want to go to America, fine, you know, go aboard your ship. You're not going to be able to take much. You're going to get dropped in America, and then you're going to have to go and you know, I think there was a law where you could get 40 acres of land to start your family, but you're going to have to clear it. You're going to have to make a shelter. You're going to have to figure out how to survive. So it was the land of opportunity, and an incredible land of opportunity. And Joshua is saying to these folks here, hey, you've got that hill country, that's yours, and all the land with it, but you're going to have to go get it. And that's the way it was in America. America was founded on this pioneering spirit of coming over here and having the freedom to worship God and also to, you know, work hard and succeed. And, you know, it's kind of changed. I mean, it is a land of opportunity and there's so much good about America. But now, you know, it's different now. We've gotten into a government funded America, and instead of people having to sometimes, you know, work hard in the land of opportunity, sometimes it's become a place where now we're giving so much away, and maybe even to people who are not residents. I'm just letting you know that America was not founded that way. It was founded on its opportunity, but you're going to have to go work hard. And there's something to be said for that. There's something good, you know, about that. A couple of stories. You might recall when the first Plymouth Colony was being developed, and they at first said, well, let's work hard, but we're all going to share everything that we do. So the community is just going to completely share. We're going to give equal food, equal everything. Everyone just work as a team. And they tried that. And what they found is since everyone was going to get the same amount, no matter how hard they worked, everyone was lazy and they weren't working hard. And William Bradford, the leader of that colony, said, all right, enough of this. Now you're going to have to, instead of us sharing everything and distributing it equally, you're all going to have to work for your own lot. And they became extremely more productive because those who wanted to work hard were rewarded for what they did. So they tried socialism in the first colony, and it failed, and they had to change their policy. Isn't that interesting? But, you know, one other quick story. I was with a guy yesterday, and he was from Poland, and he happened to have a job working for his grandpa years ago. I think they painted ship containers, shipping containers that would go on, you know, big shipping containers. Well, anyways, because of that, he lived in tons of different places. Like, he lived in most European countries, in Poland, in Africa, in Libya, all kinds of different places, Spain. He was all over. And I'm like, that's interesting. You've got an interesting perspective that most people don't have. And I said, you know, what's your favorite place? And he said, well, what do you mean? What's my favorite place? Do you mean where to live, or do you mean where to take a vacation? And he said, dude, you know, in his Polish accent, he's like, there's no comparison. He said, it's not even close comparing any other country he's been to. And it seemed like he lived in like 10 different countries. I can't remember all the names of them, but he said, it's not even close how much better it is living in America than all those other countries. That's quite a statement. As much as sometimes people complain about America, you know, cause it seems like in sometimes it's headed in the wrong direction, but man, it's still a very blessed place to live. So anyways, interesting. But what can we take from this? In summary, I'd just say in life, sometimes you got to pray about your situation and seek God's will. And sometimes you have to advocate for yourself and do it with respect and wisdom. And God can bless you in that. So, you know, may that bless you or help you either now or someday in your future. God bless you all.